with a good looking beard. There's nothing like a man with a good looking beard.
Welcome again to the next iteration of Behind the Beard WNC. My name's Patrick Pohl. I'm joined by Carson Jones and the Andersons, Mike and Lewis. This is a podcast where basically four bloviating bags of hot air that are friends get together and banter about subjects that usually revolve around high school sports and primarily high school football, but it can go anywhere, anytime. We can go off the rails. We've done it before. We'll do it again. But mostly this is for our entertainment. We hope you're entertained too, but if you're not, we totally understand, and there's other options you guys can go listen to, but we hope you like it. Anyway, today we continue on with our coach interview series, and today we're at North Buncombe High School with head coach David Hines. Coach, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. I'd be just curious to hear a little bit more about your story.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm happy to talk about my guys, the school, community. It's something that I have thoroughly enjoyed since I got here. My story is a long one. You know, if my wife was here, she would be able to map it out and tell you, you know, it's been like 11 houses in 23 years or something like that. But
so you got a good realtor.
Up here I do have a good one. She did us really good when I came up here. But when I first got started, I started out as a middle school head coach. Came right out of college. I went to UNC Wilmington and came right out of college and got a middle school head football job, which also included the middle school head baseball job, which also included the middle school girls assistant basketball job, and which also included being the department chair all in year one. So it was there was not a lot of a learning experience time there back then, but ever since then I went from there to – I was in Brunswick County. I helped coach a little bit at North Brunswick when I was coaching in middle school, and went from North Brunswick up to Vance County. I was at Northern Vance for three seasons and ended up in Fayetteville for a year, and ended up – I was the head baseball coach there and assistant football coach, and ended up at Southside High School out in Chocowinity, North Carolina for – 3+ years and loved every minute of it. My wife told me there were two places she'd ever go back to. That was Little Washington and back up here to the mountains. So whenever things happened, we ended up back in the mountains. But I've been a head coach at Eastern Guilford, a head coach at East Davidson. I have been an assistant coach at Cherokee. I was there for couple years as the head baseball coach and assistant head football coach, and that's what kind of drew us back up to the mountains. I've got really good friends that are still over there, and we talk all the time. And you know, people ask me, "Do I want to go back?" And I keep telling them I am retiring at North Buncombe High School whenever it comes time, and then we'll talk. But you know, I've lived the life. That what's the state motto, Murphy to Manio. I have coached a football game at Murphy, and I have coached a football game at Manio. But my wife and I talked really long and hard whenever we decided to come back up here from the Piedmont. And we were in the Piedmont for about 12 years after I left Cherokee. And we decided mountains are where we wanted to end up. I've got a son who is going to be in eighth grade, and – I'm not going anywhere. We are on our final property. We are where we're going to be. So it's been a lot of learning, a lot of, you know, good, a lot of learning opportunities, and I am loving life in Weaverville, North Carolina.
Well, I'm glad you're having that experience for sure. And you know, the Cherokee thing, even if you like to go back to Cherokee, you can always catch a ride with Carson because he's usually always going back to Cherokee.
I just don't coach over there. Thanks, Pat. Thanks. Okay. But you mentioned one of your boys. How many kids do you have?
I have three sons.
Okay.
I have twins who are just turned 21. One of them actually just graduated from Western Carolina in 3 years. He was fast through, and yesterday, he packed up a moving truck and moved to Nashville for his first big boy job.
Good for him.
So mom and I are proud of him. And, you know, so it's been a couple rough days at the Hines household, you know, saying goodbye. And, you know, my other son plays college football up in Ohio at the University of Findlay. And he left Tuesday to go back. He was home for about 3 weeks, and they started their summer workouts yesterday. So I've got the three boys, and, you know, they've all been athletes, and they all do their thing. The middle school one plays football and played football, wrestled, and played baseball over at the middle school this year. And, you know, the older two were golfers, swimmers, football, and baseball when they played at Southern Alamance. And so I'm very proud of my boys and very proud of what my wife and I have done with them. So
that's awesome.
So tell us, Coach, a little bit about your staff out here. Who helps you coach?
Well, we're actually still trying to add, but I've got some really, really good guys here. Andy Runyon, Shane Hawkins. We've got David McKinney. Going through them all position by position in my head here. Chris Hightower. Let him take any kicker we have and just say go make them.
I've seen his national championship ring.
Yeah. Oh, he's got it on about every Friday night, you know, which is awesome. I want our kids around stuff like that. That's good for them. And it's good to see, you know, the guys from here go and do. Jeremy Laster helps. Ian Shannon came to us from down in Orange County, down around Chapel Hill, and he has been here this year teaching EC and coached our girls' golf team back in the fall, but he's going to jump on board with me and help. So I'm looking forward to that. And Robert Moffitt, he is over at the intermediate school, but his wife teaches here, and he helps coach swim. He's one of the head swim coaches. So he's going to jump on and be on board with me this year. And we're probably looking to hire a couple more. A couple of mine have decided to go be grandparents. And how can you argue with that? I mean, that's what we all aspire for is to, you know, I want my kids to be around people that want to be family people and things like that. So, you know, it's awesome for Coach Massey and Coach Fox and those guys who were – coming towards the end that want to still be involved, but not the day-to-day stuff, which is still awesome. But we're looking to hire probably one or two more guys at least. And, you know, you can never have enough good help that is willing to help mold and shape young men, because in today's society, kids in general, we need all the good people around them we can get. And that's what I want as a part of my coaching staff here on my staff. And I want my coaching staffs to be like that. And, you know, you speaking to Mr. Yance before we got started, you know, I think he would throw a whistle back on and go down there in a heartbeat if he could. His number one thing when he got here, and he came in the semester right after I got here, so – love kids and be about the kids, and that's what we try to preach in all of our athletics too. But I'm excited with my staff. I hate losing the guys that we've lost, but at the same time, I am excited for the next journey in their life is being able to go to a grandkids game, not having to worry about being here, you know, at all hours. So that's awesome for them, but I'm excited. I'm ready to get started. We had a good spring practice, so it's been nice.
Any standout players you got coming back this year?
You know, we graduated quite a few, but we have had about 40 kids at every one of our spring practices. There is an excitement in the air. We're going to be young, but man, are they coachable and do they want to be good. We've got, you know, I always hate – and I'm sure the other coaches would tell you the same thing. You always hate to sit there and go, oh, this guy, this guy, this, because you're going to leave somebody out. But we've got a few offensive linemen, Thomas Kirkpatrick, Andrew Reinhart, who are going to have to anchor our offensive line, two rising seniors. Thomas is in the weight room squatting 525 right now, and Drew 6'4.5", 285 pounds now. And, you know, he's at the top of the leaderboard or close to, and in a couple of our lifts in the weight room. And we've got Ryan Moffitt, who's going to help us at receiver, DB, wherever we need him. Leslie Otis is probably going to be the guy in the backfield. It's his to lose at the quarterback position coming up from 2 years doing it on JV. And, you know, they were down, you know, he leads his own workouts during the dead period. You know, that's where our leadership is coming from young guys. And to me, coach-led team can only go so far, but a player-led team and what we're trying to do here and what we want to do here is to have players that will say, hey, I know it's a dead period, we can't be on campus. You guys, meet me here. You guys, let's go work on this. Let's go do that. And that, to me, shows a corner turned. You know, Dane Houston, big wrestler for us here. He's played football since he was a freshman. He'll be a senior. You know, a lot of these guys didn't have a JV team to play on. So a lot of these guys have been learning from standing on the sideline to getting thrown in front of people. Julian Lanning is a rising sophomore. He'll be probably my right tackle. He was the right tackle about the last five games last year. We threw him into the fire against TC and said, you're going to be the right tackle, good, bad, or indifferent at this point. And, you know, when you throw him in against the likes of TC and Asheville and Irwin, you know, and McDowell and Inca, they all good lines and they do good things. And he held his own as the year went on. He got better and better. We were able to do things behind him. But he's another 6'4", 310-pounder. You know, so we're going to have some size up front. But the one of the kids that we're really excited about is Kingston Denson. He's a running back. He'll be a sophomore next year. He is lightning in a bottle. He has put on 35 pounds since November. He knocked out 6 or 8 power cleans at 2:30 today, you know, and we're doing low reps. He goes, Coach, I just need to hit it. And I said, okay, do it. But we're excited about him. You know, Brody McFadden, another wrestler that is really – big in football, and we've picked up about 15 guys that are going to be sophomores, juniors that haven't played here, may have played, you know, middle school or youth league. So I know I'm going to leave somebody out, and you know, but Brian Romero, Colin McCoy, you know, a lot of young guys. We're going to start a lot of sophomores and juniors, but we're excited about them. You know, they're the guys who are really, really, really buying into everything that's going on. You know, Owen Starosta, Maxim Koladich, you know, these are young guys who I looked at 2 years ago when I got here and I said, we're going to play JV whether we got – as long as we have 18 kids, we're going to have a JV team. And they're like, Coach, you're nuts. I said, you've got to start somewhere. So we took our lumps. We about beat Asheville last year. We about beat Reynolds. You know, it was 7-0 in the Reynolds game here. It was 12-7 heading into the last minute of the Asheville JV game. I mean, they're learning the game of football. Football 101 here is a big deal. We spent most of the spring about 45 minutes a day on the board teaching football to these young guys. And to me, it was one of the most fun springs I've had in 23 years because it was a lot of teaching and a lot of answering questions and a lot of really just back and forth with the kids and the coaches. And they, when you walk out of a practice and they thank you for doing something, that strikes a nerve with you as a coach going, okay, I got at least one today. So we've got a lot of kids who I'm excited about. And what I told them was, those 18 that played JV 2 years ago, you're coming up to be my juniors now. There were 42 eighth graders in our football meeting when I went over there. And last year there were 27. The year before there were 17. So, you know, there's obviously something going on that's exciting some kids. And they had some success at the middle school this past year. And, you know, it's we're trying to be as involved with them in the youth league. So those things happen. And I'm looking forward to talking about all these kids every week with whoever wants to hear about it when it comes time, because they're fun to be around. And in 23 years, you don't always say that. So, you know, some years are great and you're not having fun with the kids you're with, and it's not the kids' fault. It's just the circumstances. But these kids, and these kids at North Buncombe as a whole, you know, being from here, they're good kids, and they work hard, and it's been exciting to watch them grow over the 2.5 years.
You know, and I think you mentioned when I pulled up, I saw some guys working out down on the lower field, and as a coach, it's your dream to enable that leadership so that you've got, because that saying, you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. And you don't want your kids out there like, okay, I'm going to play this play for Coach Hines. You want those kids to be like, all right, hell, I'm going to play this play for Lewis. I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent. He may be trying to talk to my girlfriend, but it's like when you're out there, like you're out there on the field, it's like, it's just something about community. It's something about, we've talked about how high school sports are still sacred. And you, with your son playing college ball, you can, you know, it's just, it's more of a job. It's, you know, there's those coaches are, you know, getting fired off wins and losses. They're recruiting off wins and losses. So as a football coach at North Buncombe, how important is for you, because this has been the thing since when I graduated 10 years ago, is you've got to figure out a way to build that excitement to where you get some of the athletes from the other stuff. Because I know there's a couple guys on the baseball field that I saw this year that I was like, I talked to Shane, close with Shane, and I'm like, Shane, dude, he fills out a baseball uniform. He's like, man, Brady Ray can go. He's like, he's strong as an ox. And then obviously we know Trent Clark's one of the most athletic kids in Western North Carolina. So it's like, how important is that for you to have guys that within your program that, you know, we joke around about recruiting and getting this and that's like, at North Buncombe, I think it's very, very important for your players to be recruiting. You want, I'll never forget, it's like Dylan, he went sophomore and junior year without playing. And next thing you know, it's like Fox was like, hey, boys, I'm going to play football this fall. It's like when Dylan tells you he's going to play football, it's like, guess what? Like one or two more kids come. And then next thing you know, it's like you said, you got 40 guys at spring practice. And when you've got to compete in the conference that you're competing at, you need that depth.
Well, I think any time you're in the process of building, and, you know, the number one thing as I came in was they asked for consistency, because these kids just haven't had it. And it's through no one's fault. But the guys who are going to be seniors this year have had me now for 2 seasons. I'll be their third season, and I will have been second head coach. The guys that just graduated, I was their third head coach in 4 years. You know, so, and if you go back and you look over the last 20 years, coaching consistency in the football program, it's been a couple years. Then you get somebody that comes and stays for 4 or 5 years, then it's 1 year, then it's 3 years, then it's two. So these kids are very jaded when it comes to that. And like I said, it's not through anybody's fault. It's circumstances. And when you're looking at it here at North Buncombe, you hit the nail on the head. You get one kid, you get 10. And what I've pushed is give it a shot in spring. And this is what I've said since I got here. Give it a shot during spring ball. If you like it, give it a shot during the summer, because it's the hardest it's going to be in June and July. That's the hardest it's going to be. August to November is easy. You know, it's 2.5 hours a day, play a game either Thursday or Friday, do it all again. But in the summer, I always say football, it takes something special, because you're out here when it's 100 degrees and nobody else is. You know, now here, our runners are. I mean, that's, yeah. You know, it just is what it is. But we have picked up kids who have played other sports that they're now coming. Our head coaches here really, really, really push the multi-sport. You know, at our banquet the other night, we gave out 3-sport athlete medals. You know, when I became the AD, I talked to the principals. I said, we need to do something to
reward it.
Reward, yeah. 3-sport athletes, because you don't, in a school like this, if you don't get the best guys playing as many things as possible, you struggle, because we have 950. We're playing TC at 1600 and McDowell at almost 1900, and, you know, heck, even Reynolds with 1300. You know, here we are, 400 people less. We need our best playing. So when we can grab that one or two kids and go, come try it. And if you like it, hang out. And that's huge here. You know, player-led teams, you know, like you saw those guys, I hadn't told them to do anything. You know, I said, if y'all are going to set something up, you got to set it up on your own, and you do it over these next 2 weeks. I said, now, if you want to come in tomorrow and tell me what you did, great. But the thing that they do now is they take what we're doing and they go work on it. Where before it was, let's just go to the field and we'll do what we're going to do. We'll just throw the ball around. Now I hear them, hey, we're going to work on this, this, and this today. That's huge. And it goes with what you brought up. Just if you go back to, I graduated in 97. You know, and you go back further, there weren't all the summer workouts back then. Schools just didn't do them. You started football on August 1st. That's when you showed up. And then over time, this team started doing it, so this team did, so this team. And now if you don't do certain things, you fall way behind. The teams that are successful year in and year out are the ones that have people that do things year-round, even when – I'm a basketball player and I'm playing basketball, but I may go out and catch some passes, or I may go out and throw some, or I may hit the gym for a second workout. Those are the teams that are being successful in everything. And that to me is, we're starting to see it a little bit here. And there's a little bit of a buzz. There's a little bit of an excitement. And that's, I think that's key in anything you do.
One of the cool things about football is community involvement. Everyone comes out Friday night. You're talking about building a program. How have you reached out to the community? How have they been receptive? How's it going there?
I walked in the door, and I came to a basketball game the night after I was announced 2.5 years ago. And I walked in, and the ball games actually had just ended by the time I got here. But everybody was still here, and it was kind of like the moth to the flame. Here they come. And so I stand around and talk for like an hour with people. And, you know, it's – relationship building is not just between you and the kids. It's between you and people you work with. It's the – other kids in the school, it's the community itself. And it helps to have people like Hightower and Laster and those guys who are a part of the program. And when they're out, when Hightower's out meeting with a client or something in his salesman stuff, and they go, well, man, I see you're not winning, but he can go, yeah, but this is happening. And what I've seen is we started last year with something called Meet the Blackhawks. And it was something we did in Alamance County, and I said, look, we're trying to really start building the community piece around here, and we want to get some excitement back. So at the beginning of every season, we do a Meet the Blackhawks. And in the fall, it's usually right before the first scrimmage. And so we do it out in the stadium. All the fall teams are introduced. They're all in their jersey. Afterwards, we allow kids to come down and take pictures with them in their jersey. We run some kind of raffle. But we make it a community-type event. We run concessions. We have other things. So we try to get the community involved in each of those. We send all the information out to the elementary schools, middle schools, and especially for winter and spring because they're all in. So I'm contacting all the principals with, hey, this is when this is. We would love to see everybody here. And, you know, I really have tried my best to get actively involved with the youth league. I'm lucky that I've got at least one or two coaches that have kids in the youth league. My son played in the youth league the very first year. So it's been an easy access to them to just continue to build that piece of it. And, you know, what we've seen is a lot of support for our kids in what they're doing. And this year I think I'm going to actually try to, when my stuff finishes, instate a program where some of my kids go down and help with some of the youth league teams just to, hey, 30 minutes, go down, work with them, because we need to get those kids to want to just – I want their end result to be, I want to be a Blackhawk when I get to high school and I want to do this. And I'm seeing some of that happen now, but we're constantly – I gave Ingles a helmet recently. You know, they helped us with one of our fundraisers. And, you know, I think it's just important to be visible, be vigilant with wanting to work with these folks. And this is one of the most open communities to work with that I have ever been involved with. And, you know, I know you joke around a lot about it because – everybody wants to be involved.
Everybody.
And
everybody.
You know.
You had an event at the barn.
Yep.
And I grew up playing with Eddie's son, Caton, and I actually took Mike to the barn one night, and he's like, where's it at? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll get you there.
Just, we'll get you there.
I was like, don't worry about it. And then, like, next thing you know, it's like you just run into, like, some familiar faces, and next thing you know, it's like we had a great night, and Mike's like, that's a good time. And I'm like, coming from an East Asheville guy, it's like, it's not bad in Barnesville. I mean, I didn't know where, and I'll never forget when my first day at North Buncombe, just so the listeners know, I was a transfer before transfer was cool. I transferred from Reynolds High School to North Buncombe after my freshman year, and Jack Evans, our principal, met with me, and he said, Carson, he said, I'm going to be straightforward with you. And I was like, yes, sir. And I never had a referral in my life. I'm like, this is the first time in principal's office. And he's like, Weaverville's a special place, son. I'm like, okay, okay. And I'm like, all I knew is that it's 38 minutes from Fairview. I lived behind Cane Creek Middle School. And I'm like, oh, my, I didn't get my license for another year. It's like, so, like, all I knew is me and Dad were waking up early to get to school. And then I was living, I had to, you know, go around it because transferring wasn't as easy. So I was living with a student athlete, Colby Fox, who was actually my brother legally. And he said, Carson, if you come here and you're all in, Weaver will take you in. And he said, it'll change your life. But he said, if you're half in, half out, if you know you think about coming back, but you want to go back during this season, you want to come back during this season, he said, they'll smell you out. And he said, it's not going to be an enjoyable experience for you. And so I give them such a hard time because, you know, y'all were 3-0 last year. And I go, I live in Weaverville, and I go to Twisted once a week. I go to Lockeretta once a week. And that's just what you do. And I was like, guys, like you couldn't sit at Twisted Laurel without people talking about it. And the kids around here, we go down and we've got little kids at the youth league. My son's two. He wants to be at a ball field. So it's like, if, you know, and in-laws, sister-in-law played North Buncombe softball here. So it's like, we're at softball game. Well, let's go over and watch, you know, Parker play baseball. Well, the kids are there in the youth league. I taught for 1 year at West Henderson, and people are like, you know, West has just got so many numbers. It's like, there's kids in Weaverville. It's like you said, you just got to create that excitement. You've got to start where you've got to start it to where it's not something that you're trying to get. You know, you're in the situation where you've got to try and get the sophomores and juniors. But like you said, that batch of 40 is going to get up there eventually, and then you want kids behind it. Well, that's why Reynolds Youth League. I mean, I was in East Buncombe Rocket. It's like, you remembered when, like, those coaches came down there. It's like, I was like, holy, I got to play. I mean, I was in fifth grade knowing that I, like, that's the football coach. Like, I wanted to play good because that's Coach Craig. That's Coach Laws. Like, it's that excitement. So it's like you said, the kids here, they give me a hard time. But if you just keep building something, I think consistency is the word. And I've heard good things, not from you, about your son in eighth grade. I've heard good things from people around the program, around the community. That's like, you know, and just with him, that'll be nice to be able to have him come up, because he's obviously going to, you know the system, focus, bring some kids with him. So that's awesome to look forward to.
It is. And, you know, I've coached one of my sons already, and, you know, that was fun. And, you know, I called the offense at Southern Alamance. And so I stayed away from coaching quarterbacks for 2 years until the head coach down there came to me and goes, okay, the dang starting quarterback goes home with you every day. You need to coach the quarterbacks his senior year. And I said, okay, if that's what you want, I'll do it. So, you know, it's been fun. And, you know, Landon, like I said, he'll be eighth grader next year. And, you know, he had a good experience this year over there with them. And, you know, anything for me is big family. That's huge for me. I want my family taken care of. And I want to take care of other people's families in the same way. And I'm excited. You know, there's a lot of buzz in the hallways now, and I'm looking forward to what's coming.
Are you this year, are you looking to focus more on defense? Do you still want to be on the offensive side of the ball? Are you going to do a little bit of both? What do you envision in a perfect world in Coach Hines, which we know we don't live in a perfect world, but
I will probably be on the defensive side of the ball this year, and I will probably be turning over the offense to a couple of the other coaches. And, I mean, I'll be involved with it, obviously, as the head coach. You've always got your – finger in things, but at the same time, 2 years of building it and building the trust and the understanding and everything else, you've all played, you've all done that, so you understand in any sport the nuances of it. They now understand those nuances of what I want to see and things like that. So I am going to probably step over as the defensive side of the ball this year and try to, you know, do some different things over there than we've done. And, you know, Coach Massey's done a really great job of getting the guys to do what he needed them to do the last couple of years for me. And I couldn't thank him enough, you know, for what he's done. You've known Coach Massey a long time. And, you know, he has been a part of North Buncombe as long as anybody around here can tell you.
Yep.
So it's good for me. But, yes, I will probably be on the defensive side of the ball this year.
So what does your non-conference schedule look like this year?
Same as last year. We start out with East Henderson over at East Henderson. Then we got Owen here. Then we go to Madison and Brevard here. So we're looking forward to it. You know, anytime you've got a huge rival in there, you know, you've got Brevard, who is as good as anybody we played last year. And then you've got Owen, who North Buncombe hadn't played in a long time, got them back on the schedule last year. And, you know, we've got them obviously again this year. And East Henderson, Colton's done a great job with them, and he's going to have them ready to play. And it's, you know, he's taking a little bit of that T.C. Robertson stuff with him, and some of the old, some of the new. And I think he's just trying to find what fits them the best. But, you know, I like our non-conference schedule in a way to get into the season, learn a little bit about ourselves and learn a little bit about what we've got left to get better at as we move through the season.
So, 3 wins last year, could have easily been 5. Yeah, it's a couple really, really close games there. How do you continue to build on that and see more and more wins on the field?
Well, I think if any coach tells you otherwise, it all starts in the weight room. You know, and I heard Coach Dinwiddie, you know, talking about the weight room.
Oh yeah,
it's where it starts. You know, it's all about what you do in there, and it's not about how much all the time. It's about the camaraderie you build, the, you know, teamwork you build in there, the grit you build in there, and it's a grind. You know, when we started back in August, you know, in the fall, most coaches will tell you, you lift, but it's more to, you know, maintain. You want to grow a little bit through the season, and that's good. And a lot of my guys were in there, and then they're in there again this spring. But they're like, Coach Hines, do you have a switch you flip in January or something? Because you're a different dude in here in the spring. And I told him, I said, I have to be. I don't have a choice. You know, we've got – I'm in there with Coach Hawkins, first and fourth block, and, you know, Coach Runyon and Coach Harrison are in there in the middle. And it's got to be held – to a certain standard, and that's what we've talked about since we got here, because that weight room doesn't just help football. That weight room helps baseball, basketball, softball, golf, track. It doesn't matter. And, you know, I told them when I got here, I said, I'm not here just to build football players. I'm here to build athletes. I want to help each program. And what we've seen is every head coach in the building fully backs what we do in there. And because of that, there's never a question of, I can't lift today, coach. It's a game day. Or I can't – I've got to do – we modify. You know, hey, if I'm pitching today, you're not going to do stuff over your head. You're going to do other things. But it's going to hit the same muscles that all the other kids are doing. You know, but in the spring, you know, baseball pitchers, you know, we take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, but I've had some parents come up to me and go, my kid don't pitch. Run him into the dirt in there. You know, and I'm like, all right, you got it. But for football purposes, the last 2 years have worked really hard in there. I've seen this year's go to a different level. And I think that has to do with maturing and knowing what I want more and then leading into that player-led idea. They want to do better than the group before them, who wanted to do better than the group before them, and so on and so on. And there is a level of competition in the weight room now that I haven't seen since I got here. And I know it used to be there. You know, I know, you know, with Shook and Allen, Cagle, and these guys who have been in there before me, it's about competition, and that's coming back. And it's been there the last 2 years, but there's been fewer numbers in there. So now when I'm dealing with between Shane and I, first period, we've got about, I don't know, 48 in there together. And in fourth block, we've got like 52 in there together. And, you know, when you look at first block, that's got all the football guys in it that about, I don't know, 30 of them are football players, and then fourth block's got another 10 or 12 in there that are football guys, and, you know, second and third have a couple here and there, and that's the biggest thing in high school that you know you've got to deal with is I can get a large group of them together in the weight room, but if I'm an AP kid or if I'm a AB Tech kid, they may have to take it a certain period where they can't be in there with all the others. But what I've seen in the weight room – this semester and the competition between the players in there, I can't promise you that we're going to go win more than 3. You know, I'd be stupid to do that. But I do look back and go, man, you know, a play or two in the McDowell game, a play or two in the Inca game. And it's a five-win season, like you said. And I think we have a shot to be better on the field this year just because of the competitive factor that they're going through in the weight room with each other. And it's not me and they're going, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. I just say, hey, here's what you got to do. And then I'm there to be supportive of them. Now, the first week, that accountability level's high. You know, I don't allow them to, you know, every cuss word's 25 push-ups, you know. So, and it's not so much that it's the word, it's the accountability piece. I told you not to do it, you know, no matter what it is. So it builds. So if they do it once, it's 25. If they do it a second time, it's 50, you know, so on and so on and so on. And it's gotten less and less as the semester went on because they know cognitively that if I say this, their teammates are making them do it. I don't have to tell them anymore. So I'll see some kid over doing push-ups in the weight room, and I'm like, and they're like, Coachy. I said, all right, I appreciate it. But there's that. So I can see us winning just as many or more this year. I think we're going to be very competitive. This group has the drive and the want to, and the last 2 years did too. Just numbers got in the way. You know, year one, I got 24, 25 guys on the team. I'm going up against, you know, McDowell, who's standing over there with 55, or Reynolds over there with 50, you know, and – you know, when you look at a team that's got 110 in the program, and here I am going, man, I got 40. Well, we're gonna do it. But, you know, and now I sat down and made my list the other day, and if everybody shows, I'll have 90. And now I know everybody won't. You always look at the attrition factor. But year one, around 38 to 40. Year two, we were around 52. If I'm up at 70 or so this year, the program is working. What we're doing is building. And it's one of those deals where I think we could see 5, 6, 7 wins. You know, if stars align and you play the way you're capable of. But you could also see with young kids 2 or 3 wins again. And that may not be the most detrimental thing because of what we're trying to instill. You know, when I'm looking at the possibility of having 50 on JV, the future's bright. But for this fall, I'm excited about our schedule. Our non-conference schedule, like you said, I like how it lines up. The thing that kills us is I don't get an easy start into the conference season. You know, it's in this conference, there's no easy game. And, you know, it's not like you come out and you're playing, you know, the nobodies. Here comes Reynolds, TC, and McDowell back-to-back-to-back following Brevard. So – you know, I'm excited about it. You know, Coach Laws and I and the other coaches in the conference, I've gotten to be a lot closer with all the guys over the last couple of years. And, you know, I would take coaches in this conference, and I've been a lot of places, and I've got a lot of buddies around the state. Mountain football is different. You know, you coach who's there. You coach who you got in the building. And I would take these coaches here in this conference over most conferences around the state that I've been a part of. And I, you know, it's a situation where there's some really, really good football minds on all these staffs up here. And that makes it fun. bang your head on the wall every now and then when you run into something. But it's these guys do a good job, and you know I'm excited about what we've got going this fall.
So looking forward another year, what about this 8A? Is this going to help you? Is this going to hurt you? What are you thinking?
It's so crazy, you know, from the athletic director perspective, I look at it as I am hopeful that they will put people with like-sized teams when they come out with these conferences and stuff. But then as a football coach, I definitely want to be in a conference with like-sized teams, you know. I got 965 running the hall, and I'm playing teams with close to 1,900 in the same conference. They tell us that's what's supposed to change with this. So it's one of those deals where I can't complain about it. I got to play who they put in front of me. At the same time, I want what's best for our kids. And 8A, if you think about it, all of us have been around in the game for a long time. We're back to 1A, 1AA, 2A, 2AA, 3. Yeah, we're back to what it was 15 years ago when I was coaching.
Except now it includes all the sports. I think it was just football.
It was just football back then. And, you know, now with it being all the sports, I'm interested to see, and I know you guys are too, you know, this gives you some good banter on the podcast because y'all are all ready to find out the same way I am. You know, we talk all the time in our athletic director group and as our coaches group. You know, what are they going to do? How are they going to – you know, everybody wants to know playoffs. I don't care about the playoffs right now. I want to know how they're going to do the conferences. I want to know, am I going to be playing – East, West, and North Henderson, Pisgah, and Tuscola, and Inca, and Irwin, or am I going to be still playing the same group I'm playing right now? You know, because I think either way could happen based on kind of what the models are we're hearing. And
three classifications within that conference. I mean, it just
– I do think, and I don't know this, but you hear the – people talk and they don't want to do three in one anymore. So what you're wondering is somebody going to say, hey, let's try to keep all of Buncombe County schools together with Asheville, or are we good with it splitting up? But, you know, McDowell sits in that spot at the bottom of the mountain where they could go up the mountain or way down the mountain. And, you know, Coach Cash and I, in AD meetings, we talk all the time. He's like, we're just going to go where they tell us. And, you know, and they've got different groups wanting to pull them each way. You know, the Buncombe County schools kind of want them because it's an easy ride, you know, 45 minutes an hour, you know, whatever. Not a bad ride over there or up here. But at the same time, you know, from a competitive standpoint, I mean, obviously we played them close in both of the years that I've been here so far. But I do know that they've had some years where they've had 110 kids over there, and they will bash your skulls in, you know, just because they play that brand of football. And it's, you know, they're good. I mean, basketball this year, they were awesome. Mm-hmm. They were really good. And they're not going to be any worse next year. They're going to be really good again. So when you start looking at numbers, I'm obviously one that I look at the kids and I say, you control what you can control. You know, it's like a pitcher on the mound. If I'm throwing strikes and they're hitting it at people and they're booting it, it's not your fault. You've done your job. In football, it's the same thing. If they put Reynolds and TC and Asheville all across from us again, we'll go play them. And we're trying to change that mindset around here that it doesn't matter the name on the other jersey. And I'm as interested as you guys are about what they're going to do, because I would love to see, you know, I don't think there's any way around it. I think us, Inca, and Irwin are going to be about that 5A. you know, in that aspect. Now, we're in the bottom 10 of that, but I don't think we're far enough to get pushed one way or the other if it does it. You know, I've heard that Inca has some big middle school groups coming up that could possibly bump them a little higher, but I think they're still close enough to the middle that it's going to be hard to bump them out of it. But, you know, us and Irwin are about the same size, roughly about 100 kids, 110 kids. So looking at the teams in those, we match up really well, obviously, just like I think anybody would say this, match up really well with the teams that are the other 5A teams. You know, when you look into the Henderson County, you know, and then down into Waynesville with, you know, Tuscola and Pisgah down there in Candler, you know, it's really going to be interesting to see which direction they go and what influence pulls teams either way. I don't know. What are y'all's thoughts on it? What are y'all hearing?
So being an AD, do you guys get a vote, any influence on how they're going to distribute that at all?
What they do is they send out a survey and say, what do you like? What would you be willing to do? And, you know, once those numbers kind of go out, then they use those just to try and use as parameters, I guess. But ultimately, you know, I told them, and I've told anybody that'll listen, I would rather travel more and play teams that are more like-sized than I am than to travel less and play teams that are, you know, 1.5 to 2 times my size. And I don't think there's many coaches in any sport, you know, that would tell you differently, you know. But when you look at football is the one where you can be a 3A team and have 40 kids playing against a team with 120. And that, to me, is the one where most baseball teams are going to be somewhere between 15 and 18 kids. It doesn't matter what level you are. I've coached 1A baseball. At Cherokee, I had 17 kids on my team.
And 9 to 12 are going to play.
And that's exactly right.
9 and 12 are going to play.
And that's exactly right. And, you know, basketball, same way. You're gonna have your numbers. But, you know, as the AD, what I do like the fact of is that they do ask and they do, you know, what do you think? Now,
are they asking, like, what teams would you like in your conference?
No. Okay. We don't get that. But it's more how far would you be willing to travel? Would you rather travel less and play closer teams, no matter the size? You know, just those kinds of things. Okay. And again, it's just a survey. It's like anybody else sending out a survey. You know, it's what will happen. Who knows? But, you know, what I'm interested to know is what are you guys hearing from other people? What are the thoughts that you hear from other people?
So I hate it for McDowell, but they're going to end up 7A. And they're going to end up playing Charlotte schools. Then I think it's TC and Asheville in 6. And then I think Reynolds will end up being 5 with you guys, Irwin, Inca, those guys are going to end up at 5. Where did we say Owen was going to end up?
The one sneaky one is I saw Franklin on a list, and Franklin was in there somewhere.
Around 5, yeah.
And we made that travel. That's no shortcut to get over to Franklin.
You can't get there easy anyway you go.
No, and I've heard rumors anywhere from North Buncombe will for sure be a 5. I've heard that they could sneak down into the 4. I've heard a lot of the 4, which, you know, we've asked some coaches on air, off air. It's like, you know, North Buncombe as a 4, you know, how – and that change – and every coach agrees. That changes the whole complexion because numbers-based – I mean, I've went to a lot of – Mike's son plays at Christ School, and I've went to a lot of Christ School games over the last couple of years. And I think if you look at the final score, you're like, oh, God, they just get the dog crap beat out of them. Well, if you actually go, it's like they played the team from New Jersey. And, you know, if you go watch the first two possessions of the game, it's like, okay, like these cats can roll. It's like Christ School, how many guys do they have on the sidelines?
I want to say 40.
40. Well, New Jersey flew down 100. Was it 100? So it's like, in for our listeners, numbers, it's not saying you don't want to compete against them.
That's
it's
exactly
just,
right.
It's more than any other sport how much numbers affect. It affects them at Owen. It affects them because then you got guys playing two ways. I mean, we talked about it last year. We went to the Owen Inca game, and it's like they had one kid. I was like, holy smokes. He had all those interceptions. He had the touchdowns, and it's like next thing you know, it's like game four or five. Did he get banged up game four or five? He got banged up game four or five. It's like he's having to play 98% of the snaps, kickoff, kickoff return. It's like you're just – the numbers in football mean so much more than any other sport.
Yeah, because it's usually that first string versus first string is a pretty good game, but that second string, you know, when you got more of a pool to pull from, that's not easy to say.
Was it David Sanders at Providence Day who was, you know, coming in two plays in, he'd get two or three plays out, and it's like his backup. Was on what was his backup size?
He was also like 6'3", 280. I mean,
so
but we've also seen some projections where North Buncombe moves to that conference with the Henderson County schools, and Franklin pops into the MAC.
In my opinion, if we're going to go to this format or whatever, we have to group everybody by their classification. Whether that's, you know, and then you expand the travel budget and you do all this stuff, but You shouldn't have these split conferences where you like in Owen's situation. We have to beat Madison. We beat Madison, we go to playoffs. Well, that's garbage. But let's put us in a conference where we're playing 2-3A teams, or whatever conference we're going to be in, and that's our season. You know, you guys shouldn't be playing the Ashevilles. You probably shouldn't be playing the Reynolds, although, you know, they're probably going to be classified with you because of certain people. But
Pat, do you have any comment?
I know nothing. No clue.
If you need help getting down to 4A, we can probably give you a guy's name.
That's not true.
It's interesting looking at all of it. And this is the same banter that we sit around and talk in coaching circles. You know, how would, you know, how does, what do you think, where do they fit? And, you know, we could – come up with anything. Like I pulled up the ADMs from last year today. I had them in a spreadsheet as soon as they came out last year. I put them in a spreadsheet, and when this was all voted on, I said, all right, if it was this number, this is where everybody would be. If it was this. So, and we looked at it a little bit today, and it could swing so wildly based on the number of teams they put in each classification. You know, we know that 8A is going to be 32. I mean, we know that. That's been told to the state. That's been told to everybody else. But does that mean they're going to put 64 in all the others, which is the max? Are they going to put 59 split evenly in all the others? Because if they do that, then we don't have Reynolds in the same classification. You know, they would be 6, we'd be 5, but possibly still same conference. But, you know, when you look at it, you just don't know.
Does 1A even have enough for football playoffs?
Well, what would happen, I think the way we looked at it is, out of this, if they did it 58, 59 teams in 1A, whatever it would be, after the 32, I think there's like 27 or 28 teams that play football in 1A. I mean, it's something around that.
It's crazy because we don't think about teams not having football teams, but it does exist.
If you want to talk about 1A teams, 1A teams travel more than anyone else.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah,
as absolutely. A 1A guy. So,
yeah.
And they're the smallest schools with the smallest budget. So if they can figure it out, these other teams can travel as well.
I don't know that I would say Cherokee had the smallest budget.
Well, other than Cherokee, obviously looking at their facilities, if you never toured them,
that has nothing to do with me.
It's got a bunch of Carson's money up there.
I was going to say Carson, so
and some other coaches' money.
I will tell you, there's
you've been visiting my friends. Huh?
I am not the only coach that frequents. I will promise, and no one's getting named, but I did get asked from a head coach in our conference. I was like, hey, you want to? You know, we should just do a live podcast here.
We should.
I was like, yeah.
We've taken some trips out there, and every time we go, we about see somebody, right?
Oh yeah.
I'm sure.
It's an easy drive. Easy drive.
That's funny.
So, Coach, we always ask a key question of every guest that comes on the show, and I want you to think back to your high school years when you were in high school. What was the most defining music album of your tenure in high school? Or we learned last week, I have to qualify that by saying CD sometimes.
I think he can go with
the
album.
He goes with the album?
I think
okay.
he can go with that one.
I was there where there were records, cassettes, and CDs kind of all about the same time.
Amen.
So it was all coming in about the same time. And what's funny is I tell the kids here all the time, you know, you go back into the mid-90s and, you know, that was the era of, you know, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and the old gangster rap stuff. And you also, that was coming up on the really, I mean, I was a huge 90s country guy. You know, Tim McGraw, Don't Take the Girl, kind of, that got me really, really into, you know, country at the time. And I went to North Davidson High School, so we were about as country as it got anyway. And I would say, you know, I would probably say that Tim McGraw album really, that song and that album got me into country music pretty heavily. And, you know, full circle moment, my wife and I went to Knoxville and watched Tim McGraw. She got me tickets for Christmas. And so she and I went and saw him perform here, about a month ago now. And yeah, that was pretty awesome. So I would have to say that would be the one. And, you know, all that 90 music was good. You know, I'm going with the old saying, they don't make music like they used to, you know. I mean, it's...
They don't.
The next question always is, Carson, have you heard of that? I will tell you, I've heard of that.
Good.
Well, you went to North Buncombe.
Yeah.
That was probably a new hit when you were...
I was doing the college thing right at the beginning of the 90s, right? And I was not a country guy, but to your point... You know, that was like when Garth Brooks had that Low Places song.
It's Friends in Low Places.
Friends in Low Places,
He's very good.
That's who we are for Pat.
Yeah. Randy Travis. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
That was good times.
That was good music back then. And, you know, it's still quality music today, you know. So
just not coming out of Nashville.
So, Coach, who's one of your biggest coaching influences?
Probably the guy I've worked with for the, you know, I guess 10 years or so before I came up here. I've had a lot of guys that I've worked with over my 23 years that I've taken a little piece here, a little piece there. And, but the guy I worked with at Southeast Guilford and then again at Southern Alamance, Fritz Hessenthaler, was somebody that I really looked up to. I came out of a situation and actually was given an option to go to Southeast after being a head coach somewhere, and they like, look, new principal came in, we want to go in a new direction, and it's nothing to do with you, I just want to hire my person. I said, okay, I get it, I understand. And they're like, we've got 2 PE jobs open in the whole county, you get to pick. And so I chose to go to Southeast Guilford. And lo and behold, it started a friendship and a mentorship. And with Fritz at that point in time, he goes, look, I know what you're coming out of. I know what you've been doing. You're gonna be my head JV coach this year, and you're going to help me coach the running backs. And he said, I don't want you to have too much on your plate this year. I said, well, I appreciate it. And about halfway through that year, he goes – okay, I'm giving you a little more. You're doing this. And so by the end of the year, he came to me. He goes, you know, my DC is retiring. I'm gonna turn you over and make you my defensive coordinator. And so I was his defensive coordinator there for 3 years. And he left there. I left there. And then he got a call about Southern Alamance. And – he goes, we need to turn this place around. Because he goes, I live over here. I've worked there before, da-da-da-da-da. He goes, one of us needs to take that head job. He said, either one of us. He goes, I don't care. You tell me, do you want it or do I want it? And he goes, I think I'd be better just because I'm from the community and I know people. I said, And that's fine. I said, what do you need me to do? He goes, I want you to come run my offense. Said, I'll do it. And that was back when my son was a freshman, so he was getting ready to be a sophomore. And, you know, Fritz had always wanted to coach him. So my sons have all three been blessed to be around this man. And played at Carolina, you know, under Mac Brown the first go-round. And so he learned a lot of the hard-nosed stuff from being under the young Mac Brown. And at the same time, he was very nurturing, and that's not something you'll ever hear anybody describe him as, with a young coach like me at the time. And I look at him as somebody that I would love to emulate and be like in program building. We walked into Southern Alamance, and they had won, I think, 3 or 4 games the years before, and we went 9-2 the first year. And it was simply just culture building. What I'm trying to do here is just change that culture, build that culture. And that's stuff that I've learned from him, the weight room, the, you know, just the expectation level. That's something that I've taken with me, and I love the man like a brother, you know, and I would do anything for him, and as I'm sure he would do anything for me. And you know, I want to make him proud because of what he's done for me. And you know, if I stand right here in front of him, I tell him I love him, and I tell him thank you, and, you know, for what he's done for me, for my wife, for my kids. You know, I'm here because of the program we built together, and I want to do the same thing and make him proud here.
All right, gentlemen, I have a fun question for all of you. You too, Coach. Now, we've all been to a variety of sports ball games, professional, high school, whatever, college. When you go to whatever event it is, what is the concession item or items that you have to have when you attend said function? Lewis, you're up first.
Well, I think it depends on the sport, but, I mean, if it's a baseball game, you got to have a hot dog.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I was a nacho kid growing up, so I'm a nacho kid. When I was a younger kid, I haven't had this in years, but a suicide drink. You guys ever heard of that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You went through and
you hit everything.
And you hit everything, except for water.
Coach,
I was a hot dog guy, and you know I'd usually somehow slip in a popcorn or something growing up, and now I get to. I like a good chicken sandwich, you know. Now, if I go somewhere and there's a bologna sandwich, fried bologna sandwich, I may be in on that too, you know, after being at Cherokee for a while. That was introduced to me. But that's, you know, I want some kind of sandwich or hot dog mostly.
I have to have the highly salted soft pretzel with the cold beer. Have to.
So I'm like Carson. I'm definitely a nacho guy. I love nachos. But I recently found out in the last several years there's a thing called barbecue nachos.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically nachos with barbecue on it.
Yeah.
And
those were some good basketball games.
Well, those are absolutely delicious.
They have that at Christ School. We have nachos and cheese at normal places.
We don't even have a concession stand.
No, we had that at Reynolds.
Me and Mike made that. Okay.
I found it at a wrestling meet.
Yes.
Somewhere, and they were just delicious.
Look, I'm a huge Disney guy. Like, we were there this weekend, and when you start talking food, their food at the snack stands there is like good ballpark food. You know, you've got macaroni and cheese with pork, you know, barbecue on it. You've got the pretzels, you know, the popcorn. So it's stuff I need to stay away from.
Yeah. All of us. Did you go to Disney with Carson? He's been down there 3 weeks celebrating his son's birthday.
No, I was there 2 weeks ago, and my son turned 2 on Monday. He got a national holiday for his birthday.
3 weeks we've been celebrating.
So Mike gives me a hard time, but when you have, so his mom's birthday is May 15th. You've got Nurses Week, you've got Mother's Day, and you've got Paxson's birthday. So it's like, honey, what are you doing for us this month? It's like, okay, well, I tell you, and to Coach's point about the food, money must be different in Weaverville, because I'm telling you, Disney and Chick-fil-A are about as two of the most well-run organizations as far as the scheduling, the getting through the lines, all this and that. It was 95 degrees the week we were there. We did every ride that someone, a two-year-old, could do. We did no rides that the adults could do. We still had a good time. But I will say, we will not go without a grandparent or an assistant next time. Not an assistant. That did not sound right.
That's
Pat Pohl money. But no, we had a great time. Disney. Did you and your wife just go? Did you go with your?
We took the whole family, the whole crew, this weekend. We left Friday night and got back Monday night. And
did y'all do Allegiant? Or did y'all drive?
No, we fly American.
Okay,
got you know. That money.
That's different.
Yeah. Hey, look, you know, I'm different. Lucky.
Hightower is around, is he not?
Hey, what does the Booster Club look like up here? It must be pretty good.
Look, Disney has been one of those things. In 2013, my wife and I surprised our boys and took them.
It's awesome.
And they're like, okay, we really, really like this. So what we've ended up doing is, every year at Christmas we go. That's our just one vacation. Yep. I'm lucky. My parents own a condo in Cherry Grove, so we go over the 4th there. You know, don't have a ton of cost in that. But Disney, it's something that my family, it's worth saving for, because it's something that our boys enjoy, even our 21-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And as the boys get older, they can go do what they need to do, want to do, and still be a part of the family.
Do y'all stay on? Where do y'all
we
stay
We stayed at Pop this weekend. Okay. We were at Pop Century. And
we got lucky. My little brother's wife is sister's cat, works down there.
Okay.
So she checked us into the Animal Kingdom Lodge. So we got to stay at the lodge.
Well, yeah, no. Speaking of money,
you were not supposed to say that. But no, we got a 50.
Did you get the Savannah View? Room?
I was gonna say Savannah View. I mean,
so my son, I tell you, not that he likes to go to sleep anyways, but when you have a giraffe outside your room, it's like it is okay.
He's hand feeding it. Right.
Coach, that sounds like Pat's house. Coach, the giraffe outside the window.
Coach, we had a great time. Let's go ahead.
Look, he's. Like,
but, no, seriously, thanks for letting us come over here.
Yes, thank you.
We really appreciate it, and best of luck this year.
Except for week 2. You know, sorry.
No, we'll be in attendance week 2, and we'll have sports betting is not legalized in high school yet, but me and Lewis will have a bet for that game.
For sure.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you all for coming out here.
Well, thank you, Coach. Appreciate your time. And the coaching series will continue. We have some more interviews set up, so tune in for those. And football season will be here before you know it, guys.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
There's nothing like a man with a good-looking beard.